right, welcome to the KAFM Public Affairs Show with Rick and Adam. It's the third Wednesday of the month, and what's number four? Yeah, I'm potting up Rick's mic now. Third Wednesday of the month, and every third Wednesday of the month, we do a very special public affairs show with Rick and I, where we talk about technology and how it affects listeners of this station, people in Grand Junction, as well as anybody out there who wants to listen.
Universe-wide.
We're talking about how technology affects the common man. You know, we have somebody trying to call
in
right now.
Let's try it.
I'm going to go ahead and take them and hope that they're trying to get through to us. Hello, you're on the KFM Public Affairs Show. What can we do for you?
I'm trying to get Rick Castellini.
Hey, you've got him. This is Rick Castellini and Adam Cochran. He's right across from me.
There, now I finally got my volume up.
There you go.
How can we help you? What's your name?
Richard.
Richard, what can we do for you?
I'm trying to find out if you install Internet Explorer 8, can you delete it from the computer afterwards?
Yes.
Yep.
If you go to Add and Remove Programs, there'll be, sometimes it's listed as Windows Internet Explorer 8 at the bottom of the list, if you don't see it under M for Microsoft Internet Explorer.
Okay.
But you'll find it in there.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good,
all right.
Good question right off the bat.
Internet Explorer 8 is nagging. It's a mandatory install now, isn't it?
I think so.
I think it is.
It's coming across automatic.
I think they changed it mandatory. You can backdate it, but I have no problem installing it. The problem is if you are a realtor or somebody who uses an online service, or an insurance
person. Something uses ActiveX
person,
or some kind some, of yeah, custom website.
Yeah, if you have to use Internet Explorer to do your job to get to special websites,
you really need to ask
and find out and tell them to walk you through how to keep that from happening. I think it's crazy that they put Windows Explorer or Internet Explorer 8 out there in beta, and Windows is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They put the beta out there forever for people to try.
Right.
They wait till it actually goes public, and then the people who are in charge of designing the software say, oh, wait, we're not ready, we don't have it. It drives me
crazy.
Well,
from what I understand, though, too, and the big question, you mentioned something on Twitter, and I'm not sure what you were telling me.
Yeah.
You said that we should discuss mostly Windows 7? What is that?
Well, I just heard that there's a new version of Windows coming out. I know there just was a new version of Windows. Everybody's saying, yeah, I've heard about that, Windows Vista. Yeah, I've heard you shouldn't do that.
Okay.
Well, there's a new version Windows Vista was so poorly received.
That's a good way of putting it.
Ill understood.
But one thing I was tagging along with the beta is that I've been working with the beta for Windows 7 since last fall, when they had the very, very first one.
Right.
And then I came out when they had the release candidate earlier this summer.
Uh-huh.
And it's very good. I've been very impressed with
it. Me too.
You got your final copy.
I have the real version, yes.
And you got it because?
Because I'm hosting a Windows 7 house party.
You're the coolest guy in Grand Junction.
It didn't come with any noisemakers.
The unboxing was great, by the way.
Thank you.
You saw my comments.
Yeah, I did. I had fun doing it.
And I could tell that Beth had fun, too.
She did, too.
She's not here.
No, she couldn't make it. It was a weird schedule. My wife's getting a stereo put in her car, and it threw all of everything off.
So. Gotcha. But, yeah, the Windows 7 comes out tomorrow. So if you're looking to buy a computer today, don't go out today.
Yeah, don't.
Don't go out
don't
today buy and
buy it
a
today.
Computer.
Yeah.
Wait till tomorrow.
Unless you're buying a computer today because it's 75% off because they're coming out with a new computer tomorrow.
Good point. They're going to give you.
I know Office Depot and some of those places. A lot of times will do that. They'll mark their $500 computers down to $200 just with the new OS.
Oh, maybe I should go
out
and check it out.
I checked their shelves were clean.
Pretty empty. Okay.
Completely clean. Yeah.
But yeah, but we're hosting. You're hosting. You're the official host. I'm co-host. I'm kind of co-assistant.
Yeah.
Subordinate host next Tuesday night. And
I'll rely on you heavily for the entertainment, though.
Okay. Well, I figured we could both have Windows 7 going on two screens.
Oh, yeah, we could
do
that.
We could do some dueling kind of things.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird.
I figured it'll just be like a user group meeting like we always have, but just more Q&A and a little bit more. We've always looked from...
I think it should be more hands-on.
Yeah, we did the show for how long? We've been working together more or less 8 years,
at least, something
like that. We have always joked, and I think you started it, but we've always joked about Windows party tricks.
You start everything.
Whatever. But we used to joke about Windows party tricks when we'd show people how to copy and paste or cheat at solitaire or whatever it would be. And now we actually have an opportunity, a party,
to show
do Windows party tricks. I think that's really funny.
That's good.
I think that's hilarious.
I think we need to have a video there. if you can bring your video cam, put it on a tripod or something, and we'll just kind of film most of it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then maybe you can cut it up afterwards a corny YouTube video.
In fact, I got to show you this thing here. Let me move away from the microphone. Just talk for a second.
That's fine. But we are here every third Wednesday of the month at KFM. They give us 1 hour. I'm sure they kind of regret it while we're sitting here for the hour, but I think a lot of you enjoy it. You can call us at 241-8801 extension 1, just like Richard just did. Or you can tweet us. Adam has a Twitter at Talking Digital. I'm at Help Me Rick. And if you want to send us some Twitter questions, we'd be glad to do that. If you're out of the area and you're listening on the web at kfmradio.org, you can call 970 is the area code, 241-8801 extension 1. And we know you have computer questions because we get computer questions pummeled to us or thrown at us every day. We're pummeled with questions. And this is your opportunity to ask them in an open forum. We'll get you on the air, or you can, again, send it to us via Twitter, and we'll answer any technological question that we know the answer to. And if we don't know the answer, we'll either make something up, make you feel really good,
yeah,
or we'll guide you into an area where you can find the right
answer. We'll
make an
answer up that's true because it's so vague.
There you go.
Or we will
that's kind of a popular
point
thing
in the right direction. Yeah,
it's kind of popular
from the government
just to talk about a lot of stuff.
That's right. I was watching today when they were talking about on the TV, somebody was doing a press gathering or something, and they were just talking about, they were just throwing out all of these platitudes. They didn't say a thing. Mm-hmm. I was just amazed. I mean, I'm not amazed, but it was so cliche. There's another one. Cliche. All these cliche platitudes they were throwing out.
The last 20, 25 years. It's the norm.
Anyway.
That's the norm.
Anyway, moving away from that.
So you were showing me what?
I have become a firm believer in flip video cameras and small pocket camcorders.
Okay.
I love them. Everybody in my family has one now. They have them for $50 at Walmart.
So you got one for everyone?
Pretty much. My youngest son doesn't have one, and he's the only one, I think. So
Wow. Everybody
in the family has these little flip video cameras
now. You're going to have to get some terabyte drives.
They're incredible. Well, no, they don't take up much room.
Okay,
you know,
good.
That's what's the ones my kids have are 320 by 240. Right. No, they're bigger than that. They're 640 by 480.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So great resolution, great for what they're doing. You know, we're not making DVDs or anything.
And are they making a lot of films?
Fantastic, yeah. They carry them with them all the time. And I just got this Kodak, $150, and I got it cheaper than that, but $150. And it shoots 1080p.
It's got a big old screen on it.
It shoots 1080p video. Yeah, it is bigger than a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it shoots 1080p, and it takes 5 megapixel stills. And it's really cool.
And you like it?
Sounds
good sound.
Excellent sound. It has two mics, a mic on the front and a mic on the back, so I can narrate and stuff like that and turn out a video.
You're going to use that at CES?
Yeah, I'm going to use this at CES.
Can you direct upload it to YouTube?
You can direct upload it to YouTube. The other thing about it is it has, the reason I like this Kodak one that I got, this is the ZI-8 that I got.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one because it has a microphone jack in it. So you can actually connect a microphone up to it.
So you can do an external one?
Do an external mic or a wireless
mic.
Very
nice.
Isn't that cool?
Now, it doesn't have Wi-Fi in them yet.
There's no Wi-Fi.
I'm sure that's the next step.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be, but I'm happy with it.
Then you could do live video casting from anywhere.
That's right.
Get the Wi-Fi.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I bet that's around the corner.
Oh, I'm sure it is, too. With
not my content.
And all that.
Don't use my content.
Don't use my content.
Did you see wrote back?
I did. I was glad he did. I wrote back to him, and I said, I'm sorry to pick on you in a public forum, my content, but your video streaming is horrible.
I couldn't watch the rest of the video, and it was good. I enjoyed watching what I watched, but I had to pause it to go to the other room. Came back, I could never get to restart.
Really?
Never got it restarted.
Yeah, well, we better explain a little bit about what we're talking about, and then we'll get back to Windows 7. Last week was Blog World, and I just think that's worth announcing, just telling people about it. Blog World is kind of becoming the new, it's been around forever. They've called it different things, the Podcast Expo,
right,
and Podcast and Blogging Expo.
And they've moved it around different cities before.
It's moved around to different cities. I think it's probably
mainly in Northern California,
Vegas, I imagine. But I don't know what they're going to do with it from here on out, I guess.
I think last year was San Francisco because we thought about going.
Yeah.
And so this year was, I think, the first year in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm running into this more and more, and I like the speech that I sent you because it was really talking about how blogging has always been kind of a hobby that some people really take it very seriously, but it's still only certain people doing it. And now we have this whole new genre of mommy bloggers who are mothers who blog, you know, about what's going on and write their own version of the news. And when we saw Balloon Boy this week, you know, things like that, we're starting to see that the common person is creating their own media source. Whether it's true or not is a whole different argument.
Right.
But the fact is it's hitting such mainstream proportions now that, you know, people are starting
to get away
from...
so many avenues that they can create bots.
Yeah.
It used to be one or two. Now there's dozens.
Exactly. I mean, you can do so many different things now. So now there's a, you know, convention for podcasting and blogging and basically new media just to help everyday people, whether they're doing it for marketing purposes or news purposes or whatever, create, you know.
A lot of companies now have a blog associated with their company. Just, again, as far as keeping up with social networking and giving people a voice or a way to respond to companies and interact with companies.
Right.
And I think it makes it nice. It's a nice thing. It works out real well because you get a more informal conversation between the company and the customer.
Right.
And it, I think it makes for a more amenable environment to do business for the people. I know for myself that if I can get I think anybody, if you can get a hold of a real person that can talk to you on a person-to-person level, whether it's email or phone or now blogs, things like that, you feel a little bit more... more loyalty towards that company.
Yeah.
So you're more likely to use their products and services.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a neat thing. Yeah, blogging, people always say, what is a blog? And our common answer to what is a blog is the term comes from two words called web log, meaning that it used to be more of like a diary on the web, and it used to be text-based only. You couldn't put any photos on it. You couldn't put videos on it. It was just simply where you just typed in a diary or a log entry every day, or just your own, whatever you want to talk about, just a little diatribe. But it was all text-based, and it's all organized by date. But over the years, probably the last four or five years, I'd say for the most part, I think we've seen a real big increase in the complexity. I shouldn't say complexity, but in the robustness of what you can do with a blog. A blog now truly can look like a website.
It is a website.
Yeah, and it has pictures, you can search it, you can put video on it, podcasts on it, anything you want, and you can't tell that it was created by an amateur.
Right. And that
you don't have to be a web designer to put up a nice looking website.
I get into this debate all the time with web geeks and news geeks and everybody that I hang around with about whether a blog is a type of website or whether a blog is the content found on a website. You know, a lot of people, when they think of blog, they think of somebody ranting about the government or ranting or talking about what Paris Hilton's doing or, you know, something like they're talking about celebrity stuff or they're talking about their dog or they're talking about their new, mommy blog stuff or whatever.
Or if they're 4x4 people.
To me, a blog is more the platform. It's the fact that it's something you can update as easily as email, and it's more, you know, it's always fresh content, and it gives you the ability to interact with the people who do it. And to me, that's what makes it a blog. It's not the content that's
found. And I think
it
could be either of the definitions you gave. It can be a website, standalone, or it can be a part of a website, like we talked with like Microsoft. Microsoft has their website, but they've got many, many blogs that individual employees do for Windows. They do it for Microsoft Office within the website.
True.
So it can be either.
Yeah.
Because it has become so flexible. It used to be just a diary.
It's a syllogism.
More than it.
All blogs are websites, but not all websites are blogs.
That's exactly right. It's a good way to say it.
All right.
I think that's the way we can look at it. 241-8801-970. 241-8801 is the phone number here at the KFM radio station here on Ute. So give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1, with your questions. If you have more questions about blogs, call us up. If you're thinking about getting Windows 7 or you're debating whether to get the new 27-inch Apple,
that's what I was just going to mention.
With the Magic Mouse versus get a Windows 7 machine, call us up. If you're interested on the Office Max machine that I Twittered about earlier this week, Office Max has a machine coming out tomorrow. It's a Hewlett-Packard, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 750 gigabyte hard drive.
Right.
It's a Intel quad-core processor, $599.
Yeah.
Five with Windows 7, because tomorrow's Windows 7.
That's right.
$599.
No monitor.
Yeah, no monitor.
No monitor. You got to use the monitor you have or spend the $150 on a monitor.
Right. Exactly. And you probably have one already.
Great deal.
I had a client tell me today that Sam's has a sale on Samsung flat panel monitors, which are some of my favorites, 23-inch for $199.
That's the one I have.
It's just crazy.
I bought that one to go with my iMac.
Same price?
Very happy with it. Yep. Yeah. $199. It's a 23-inch, and it's their TOC, one of their higher-end models. Nowhere near as nice as my Mac screen, but but still very, very nice for
a screen. I can't believe they have a 27-inch iMac.
I know.
I mean, you need to have a desk that's going to be about 5 feet deep.
I was glad when I saw that the cheapest price you could get it for is $16.99.
Right.
If it would have come out at the $14.99 that I paid for mine, I would have been.
Did you get the 24?
I have the 24. Yeah, 20,
which is still a beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, a gorgeous monitor.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous monitor. All right, 241-8801. Our Twitter, we talked about Twitter. You can Twitter Adam at talkingdigital.com or me at helpmerick, and we'd be glad to answer your questions that you might tweet us. And you can do that again at Help Me Rick for me or at Talking Digital for Adam. I know that Twitter's been having problems today.
Boy, Twitter has as well as Facebook. Facebook's been doing crazy stuff today, too.
And in fact, it just told me bad gateway just now.
Well, there you go. There's nothing worse than a bad gateway.
Did you enjoy my thoughts on a possible topic?
Yes, I did. I think I'm going to skip that.
Okay.
When we get into Cisco router configurations, most people tend not to listen. The
especially if I don't know how to do it.
No, you know, there's so many cool things going on. I'm wondering over the next 2 weeks, what's going to be the bigger story? Which one do you think mainstream media is going to pick up more? Are they going to pick up on Windows 7? And, of course, neither one of them are going to dedicate that much time to it. But as far as which one you'll see on the news, Windows 7 or the new Macintosh stuff? Because Mac did make some pretty cool changes that are a little bit different than what it's normally. It's faster processor. They might add something to it, but now they're starting. They did some stuff with this particular Mac line that makes very powerful computers accessible to people. You know, the 27-inch computer for $2,000.
Well,
and
I think that's the thing we got to discuss is a lot of times PC people say, "Well, Macs are so expensive,"
right?
But if you tear it down, just like you just mentioned, if you tear down the machine and look at the processor, the RAM, all the technology built into the machine.
And the software that comes packaged in it.
Right. Compare that apples for apples. No, I'm not.
No pun intended.
I'm not, yeah,
right,
no, yeah. Seriously, no pun intended.
Yeah.
With a Windows machine with the same kind of specs, you're still going to have a little bit higher price on the Apple end, but not that much.
Not that much. I think like $200.
At the most.
That that's what you're going to find if you really compare them. And
like the laptop, like the new laptop is $999,
uh-huh.
2 gig of RAM.
Yep.
But it's a good fast processor, a high-end Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Uh-huh. And you can't compare the RAM necessarily because the Mac operating system doesn't need as much as the Windows operating system.
Yeah.
And that's the neat thing. That's one thing I was really happy to see with the Office Macs and all the different the flyers that came out on Sunday. Is unlike when Vista came out and they were trying to sell some Vista machines with half a gigabyte of RAM. I don't think there's anything less than 3 or 4 now on the market.
You know what's funny is it's almost like they made the wrong, they did things backwards.
Mm-hmm.
When they came out with Vista, it was so resource hungry that it took.
And they didn't have enough with it.
It took a machine that wasn't even on the market yet to get it to run.
Mm-hmm.
Now every machine that's on the market is overpowered for Windows 7. So just cutting right down to the nitty-gritty with Windows 7, people are going to wonder two things about it. They're going to wonder, first of all, if it's any good. And the answer to that is yes.
I think
Windows 7 is very stable. It's the first version of Windows that I've ever thought a person could go out and put it on release day and
be happy
be
with
okay
it.
With it. Yeah. I think there may be some driver issues and things like that. You want to do some research.
Or if you don't have old programs that need to run Windows XP.
Good point.
So that's the other always big thing.
Yeah.
Just catching that.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, about it is people want to know, you know, what is it going to take? Do I need a new machine and all of that? I think Windows 7 is a great opportunity for people to go out and buy a new machine if they put buying a new machine off for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't hesitate at all on that because the prices are so nice.
Well, and that's my kind of cutoff, too. If you have a machine that's 4 years old and older, I don't think it's worth upgrading. I think it's worth, you know, saying, okay, it's time to move on.
If you're thinking about it. Yeah.
Now, I have a lot of clients that have 7, 8-year-old computers, and they're just fine.
Oh, yeah.
And they're happy. Stay with it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to upgrade just because it's there.
Exactly.
Only upgrade if you, A, need a new computer, or B, you need the new technologies that are in that computer.
One of the problems with what we do, and since we have so many people now who follow our advice. I almost feel like Minnie Mossberg sometimes, where we say Windows 7 is great. You'll love it.
Tier 2, tier 3.
Yeah, people hear that and they say, "Oh, Rick and Adam say, oh, go out and buy Windows 7. That's not what we're saying. Right. We're saying if you're happy with what you have, stick with it.
Stay with it.
But if you bought a Windows Vista machine and you hate Windows Vista and you haven't liked it since day one, I would encourage you to go out and buy a copy
get an upgrade. The
Windows 7 upgrade and put it on.
And I did see that there's a three-pack
family
upgrade.
Pack for $149.
Which isn't bad.
So I think it's excellent.
If you have three computers that are, again, 4 years or newer, you got to have at least 1 gigabyte of RAM on that machine. That's got to be a minimum. I prefer even two.
Right.
They say it runs on less, but really, be at least one, preferably 2 gigabytes of RAM. And if you got three of those machines around the house and they're 4 years or newer, the three-pack is a nice way to upgrade
all of them. The other thing, too, about that is there are so many ways to get Windows 7 cheap that you shouldn't have to pay full retail price for one copy. You can get the three-pack for $149. There's a student program, if you search around Microsoft's site, that gets it. If you have a student in the house, they can get Windows 7 for like $30.
Really?
I haven't seen that. Yeah, there's a... Anyway, there's several ways of doing it, plus the OEM version that we've talked about on Newegg.
I bought one for me for OEM just so I'd have a new copy.
It's not a bad deal. I mean, it's, you know, they're...
I think it was... Well, I bought the, not the Ultimate, but the one Professional, I think is what I got.
Uh-huh.
Because we talked about Windows XP. They did build in at the very last 3 months of the beta, they built in what they called Windows XP compatibility.
Right.
And really what it is, it's a virtual machine, which is another new thing you're starting to hear more and more about. Mm-hmm. We've been experimenting with it for about a year or two. But what it essentially does is let you operate an entirely different operating system, Linux, older versions of Windows, things like that, within your existing system. And so what they've done, but only with the top two tiers of Windows 7, professional, they call it business or professional? I think they're calling it business.
I think they do call it business. I think Windows 7 Business nomenclature that they used with
it, Vista. Windows 7 Business Edition and Windows 7 Ultimate Edition are the only two versions that give you that capability. So if you need XP compatibility with a new computer, you have to get one of those two versions of Windows 7. And that's one thing that I wish they would have gone back to. Is scratch the five or six versions they did with Vista and go back to just maybe two versions.
I think they did better with this one. With Windows Vista, it was crazy. You had Windows Home Basic, Windows Home, Windows Business, Windows Ultimate, and then there was a Windows Enterprise Edition or something like that.
Yeah. There was a bunch.
All these weird ones. I think that the versions...
But there's still four or five.
Yeah, but I think they make a little bit more sense with Vista. Basically has a
With seven.
Yeah, with seven. With seven, they have a netbook version that's going to be for computers that are less than a gig or a gigabyte of RAM or whatever and small processors. They have another one, Home Premium, which is for the average home.
Doesn't have the XP thing.
Right. A professional edition.
So it is professional. It's not business.
It is professional. Okay. That's what it says.
All right.
The professional edition.
Which goes back to the XP nomenclature.
Right. And professional has some stuff called IIS, some internet capabilities and networking capabilities that you will need in some cases that don't need to be in the home version. And then the Windows 7 Ultimate Edition, which has bells and whistles. But
free tech support from Bill Gates.
It's more for the geeks who really want everything that Windows 7 could possibly do, but nobody, I think, who'd be listening to us would need Windows 7 or would need the Ultimate Edition. So I think it's better than it was because I couldn't figure out with the old Vista, with the different versions, the Vista Business Edition had stuff in it that you'd want in the Home Premium, and Home Premium had stuff that you wish was in the Business Edition. So it was kind of a flip-flop.
So you're saying they actually added to instead of subtracting that.
Exactly. Right. Instead of having this is in this version but not this version, and you have to mix and match.
Yeah, this time it's an actual flow.
It's a tier.
Yeah.
So you get the one that has the business stuff, and you're going to have all the home stuff that you want in it, too.
All right, 241-8801 extension 1 is that phone number if you have questions about what we're yakking about or if you want us to talk about something else. Our Twitter is at Talking Digital and at Help Me Rick if you want to just shoot us a message that way. That's always a good, quick way to send us a question. We had the question at the top of the hour right out of the gate from Richard asking about Internet Explorer 8. And we got that answered for him right away. So if you have a question, feel free to call in. We are here every month on KAFM 88.1 Grand Junction from noon to 1 Mountain Time here on the third Wednesday.
Okay, let me give you a hypothetical. If your cell phone plan mm-hmm. was going, say your whole family's cell phone plans, every cell phone plan, your entire contract was going to run up in, say, 3 months,
mm-hmm.
would you be planning on absolutely sticking with your iPhone, or would you be considering the possibility of switching to something else?
I'm always out there for what I think is the best at the moment with a smartphone.
Right.
Because I still haven't found the perfect thing.
Uh-huh.
I loved my Trio for years. It did exactly what I wanted to. The iPhone obviously kind of blew the doors off of that and put in a whole new way of thinking about what a smartphone could do. And I love it. I love the iPhone. The Android 2 that's coming out next month looks promising.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I'm very impressed with what I've been seeing Android doing and the progress Android is making. And I think a lot of it just has to do with so many phones.
Android is the Google operating system
right.
that is, again, what's called open source, meaning anyone can use it and anyone can kind of doctor it up. And there's some new phones coming out next month with that from Verizon.
Yep.
Now, I wonder if that's going to kill any possibility of Verizon and an iPhone marriage.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I really, really think. I think there is a very solid and very believable buzz that's saying that iPhone Apple and Verizon have very, very, very likely already agreed that they can't compete with AT&T with the current 3G iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
But 4G is where they're going to make the divider line, and there's going to be. I think
that's the speed of the wireless.
I think
network.
Apple 4. I think there will be an iPhone 4G that will debut on Verizon. It wouldn't
How
surprise
soon?
Me a bit.
How soon?
2010, sometime middle 2010. I bet.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's
and that's usually that's kind of goes with the release dates at Apple. That although January is another big release date for new stuff.
It is, but Verizon's 4G isn't ready yet.
Yeah.
Verizon hasn't. I think Verizon is going to, as much as Sprint is working on it, and mm-hmm. Sprint is doing some great things with what they're calling WiMAX.
Mm-hmm.
There's Verizon is using a format called LTE, and Sprint is planning a slow rollout of WiMAX until it blankets the country. Verizon is planning to do a massive rollout all at once to where, you know, small markets like us, 100,000 people,
mm-hmm.
will get it at about the same time as major markets like Denver and Chicago and some of those. So,
what I want to see, too, out of the cellular market, out of these smartphones, is I do want to see Android. I want to see Palm Web OS.
Right.
Push the envelope so we have the competition.
Absolutely.
Because we know when there's no competition, then there's no innovation, prices elevate, and you just have this little stagnation in the market, which is kind of what happened with Palm for a while.
Because
really the really true competitor to the Palm smartphones was the BlackBerry.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And it was kind of, because BlackBerry just was mainly email-centric.
Right.
And there wasn't a lot of third-party apps, but as soon as iPhone came in the market, BlackBerry really boned up what they're doing. Then you came out with the WebOS finally this mm-hmm. year, and of course Android came out last year and was fairly well-received, but it wasn't a big splash. I mean, maybe the 2.0 is going to be a big splash.
If you get a chance, anybody who's curious about what we're talking about, if you get a chance to stop by a T-Mobile booth, T-Mobile carries the most of them, but Sprint has a couple too. Take a look at the new.
Are they on the market for Sprint right now?
Oh, yeah. Sprint has the Hero and the.
Oh, that's right. The Hero.
The My Touch or something like that is out on.
I keep forgetting those are Android.
Those are both Android 2.0. So you can actually go out there and see, and they're. I've been very, very impressed with the look and feel and the potential. And the nice part about an Android phone, for now, it's kind of like the first generation Palm devices where you can upgrade the operating system on them. So you don't really have to worry about, well, if I buy a 2.0 version and then they come out with a 2.5 version, will my phone handle it? It should be backwards compatible for quite a while now. So I have a feeling we're losing people. People are just listening to that and going, I don't care. But if you have a cell phone... It really matters.
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a lot of clients who are carrying around iPhones, but they're not sure what to do with them.
Right.
And so people are using smartphones. They have BlackBerries. They have iPhones. Some of them have some of these newer systems mm-hmm. too, but they're not sure what to do with them. They might do email if somebody helps them set that up.
Right.
They might occasionally go on the Maps because mm-hmm. the Maps is kind of a big icon on most of these little phones. But beyond that, they're not sure what to do. I helped a woman the other day that had a first-generation iPhone. She's been carrying it for 2 years.
Right.
She did not do email on it. Mm-hmm. She did not know how to get on the web on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't ever use the maps and what you could do is searching the maps.
Right.
And so just those few things I showed her in about a half an hour, and she was just her, she was wide-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Right? Yeah.
She said, wow, I didn't know I was not, I was missing out on all of this functionality.
I always get this, I don't know if you've heard this, but when I help people with their iPhones who are in that boat, I'll show them, and this is how you go on the internet. And I'll show them how to type, and they say, that's the internet? I can go on the internet with this? And not realizing, I said, yeah.
And well, they're like, paying for it. You're paying
for it.
Where can I
go? Anywhere you want. The internet's all there. It's, oh, wow, I didn't know. Wow. And they just,
which I think, you know, AT&T is happy about. There's a lot of those folks because then their network is not as stressed as it could be.
Right.
Because it already
and
is stressed
already
pretty
stressed,
hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're paying for these. If you're paying for a nice phone, and especially these smartphones, learn how to use it so that you get the power out of it.
Right.
Because there is a lot of power there.
Yeah.
I think my wife's favorite thing to do on her iPhone, and I got to admit it's one of my favorite things, is the Google has, and I think the new Android does it too, but it has a voice search.
Yeah.
To where you just talk to it and say, who was the star of Tootsie in the 70s?
Uh-huh.
And it'll tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't tell you voice, but it searches and you get the answer.
The thing I like, my favorite app that's out there that I would never use, but you know, there's useful apps and then there's the cool apps.
Mm-hmm.
Android has the app that lets you use the digital camera to search the sky.
Yeah,
so you point it up at the sky and it uses the GPS and the angle of the phone and all of that and tells you what constellations you're looking at, what stars
that's
you're looking
cool.
at. That's very cool.
That's
very cool. So there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with it that goes beyond the useful features like calculators and calendars and things like that.
And that's the thing I think that I enjoy talking about smartphones for, because people carry a phone with them.
Right.
But a lot of times they're also carrying GPS. They're carrying, like you said, an address book. They're carrying a date book. They're carrying all these devices in their purse or in their car. And if you learn how to use your phone, even some of the basic phones, you are going to be able to do away with many of those extra pieces of equipment and have just one device that does it all. Music, I mean, that's, we almost overlook that as an option these days on a telephone, but that is, almost every telephone today has the ability to either stream music from the internet, or you can copy your music you currently have on maybe an iPod, if you have an iPod or any kind of MP3 player, you can put it on your telephone and listen to it anywhere you want, and you don't have to be able to carry two different devices. The other thing you can look at too, the new, what was, there's something new, Adam, that came out that has, oh, the new iPods have the FM.
Yeah.
The new iPod Touches have the FM.
No, the iPod Nanos.
Nanos. The Nanos have the FM receiver on them, so you can listen to KFM on your iPod.
That's right.
Especially on the third Wednesdays from noon to 1. 241-8801, extension 1 is that phone number. If you have a blog or you have a smartphone that you're excited about, and or maybe you have a smartphone, you're not sure what to do with it, and you want to get a few hints and tricks, call us up, 241-8801, extension 1, or you can Twitter us, at HelpMeRick or at TalkingDigital, and we'll be glad to answer as many of those questions as we can here on the air for the next, we have another 20, 25 minutes, so give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1.
Cool.
So if you want more information on Windows 7, the party, go to talkingdigital.org, and there's a little button at the top that says Windows 7. Does it say party? I think it does.
Yeah, Windows 7 party,
right
at the top.
Windows 7 party right at the top.
Yep.
And you can check it out.
Yeah, you can actually just show up at this point. Mainly, I wanted a lot of people there because I thought it might affect how much stuff Microsoft sent me for the party.
They sent you a ton.
Microsoft sent me a box of napkins for our party, a box of party supplies.
And at that point, they knew how many people were going to be there.
No, they didn't.
Oh,
here's
they
the
didn't.
Thing. Here's what I've learned. Guess how many things they sent out to each person. Like, how many napkins? How many of each thing?
Was it standard?
Standard.
No matter how many people were at the party?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
They sent 9 of each thing. Not 10.
Not 7.
No, not 7. But
what?
Nine.
What's 9?
I don't know.
So, seriously, there's 9 napkins.
9 napkins, 9 bags, 9 balloons.
Is this the 9th version of Windows? No.
I know. I don't know. It might be.
That's a weird number.
I know.
Unless they're celebrating Ubuntu 9.1 coming out next week.
That's probably
because
it.
That's the other thing you missed out on, is where is the media going to be focusing on?
Yeah.
They're not going to focus on that. But next Thursday is the next new iteration of Ubuntu Linux.
Yeah.
And I become a Linux
wannabe
geek. I'm not a geek, but I'm a wannabe geek because it does some neat stuff.
Yeah.
And the new 9.1 is getting faster They kind of got a little bit bloaty, a little bit for the couple of the middle versions.
Yeah.
And then they've come back down to try to make it faster and a little bit less. A lot of people said it looked Windows 3.1-ish in the early days, meaning it wasn't real finished.
Which I don't think is a bad thing, actually.
I don't either. But, they didn't think it was real finished, but so they're trying to make it look a little more finished.
And in this, that last version, Ubuntu is a free operating system. So if you don't want to use Windows, you don't want to use
Mac. You don't need Windows.
Yeah. If you don't need Windows, you can use this other operating system called Ubuntu, and it's free. And it's a open source thing, which means a community works on it instead of being one particular person or company that's putting it out. And the latest version of Ubuntu, I am so blown away with. If I hadn't been making the transition to Mac, I probably would have dumped Windows and just gone straight to it. It supported dual monitors. Mm-hmm. It had some beautiful look and feel to it.
You can customize it, do whatever
responsive.
You want.
Yeah, you can make it do anything you want. You can make it change the way
and
it
not
looks,
hard.
It feels. No.
Not real hard. You can do themes and stuff. And the neat thing is we were talking about new computers. If, as Adam mentioned, you have no need for Windows, and all you mainly do, and I swear that 80 to 90%, I think closer to maybe even 90% of the folks that I help with their computers are primarily working with email, internet, a little bit of digital photography in some cases.
YouTube. I'm going to count
that
in.
That's internet.
I know
that's
it is, internet. But I still count that stuff. People a lot of times don't think of YouTube and Hulu and Netflix and those things.
Netflix is
a little different.
That's the hanging
one.
But
it won't be for very long.
I hope not.
But they're, you know,
but,
they think of that
if you're doing those things,
different.
You can run this Ubuntu Linux on a computer. I mentioned 4 years or newer, at the very oldest, I think, for Windows 7. But any computer, even up to 7 or 8 years old, will run Ubuntu Linux.
I would say
very
that's a gig of RAM or a gig of RAM or more probably to run well.
I mean, but even 512 is not bad, not bad. If you if you have a geek. You that can help you can kind of even get a different version of Ubuntu that's not quite as heavy. But it's another option out there that I've been helping a lot of people get on and they do great with it.
Yeah.
They really
I think unless you're doing video editing and video editing
that starts to change too.
There's some better stuff on Ubuntu now, but if you're tied to a program iMovie or Pinnacle or some of these other ones. If you're tied to a program, you're going to find that video editing on Ubuntu is kind of frustrating. But
and again, those are the people that probably shouldn't be using it.
Exactly. But boy, if you're just doing day-to-day stuff, writing documents, and I want to extend this beyond Ubuntu, I would say even if you have a Windows computer, more than 90% at least. I mean, I'm making up a percentage
I studied,
but
yes.
That's you studied correct. It? It is 90%. I thought it was like 90.2 or something. But the
I'll give you the rounding.
Okay. 90%. You can do all this stuff for free. Like you're saying, I mean, you can, even if you have Windows, you have OpenOffice to write your documents on that will open. Students are always a little bit disappointed when I show them that you can use OpenOffice to open Office 2007 stuff because their teachers tell them you have to buy Office 2007.
Google Docs will open up.
Google Docs DOCX. Will open it and Zoho. Mm-hmm. There's so much free stuff out there that I don't know why people even buy software much anymore. I think you should buy Photoshop if you're really into photography and you really want to do the fancy stuff.
If you use all of the stuff.
But if you don't,
right.
Then you've got
Pixlr Picnic.
And the Aviary one we talked about last time. There's so many free tools out there. I don't know why people...
You don't have to. It really doesn't have to cost a bundle anymore to be a computer person and even get the latest tools.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy what's happening out there in the computer. There was something that blew me away the other day. It was a web-based application. Oh, it was on that Pro Blogger forum.
Uh-huh.
People were talking about screencasting software.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's two or three products right now that are web-based screencasting.
Right.
Now, again, that's something our audience probably didn't give a rip about.
Where you can record what's going on your screen. Yes.
But on web-based.
Right.
That's just, it just blows me away.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine where we're going to be
in
10 years.
And if it's not web-based, there's probably a free one that's not web-based. Mm-hmm. Very little reason to buy Camtasia unless you want all the little fancy stuff.
Unless you're doing the professional
available.
Stuff. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, 241-8801 extension 1. We've had to put a lot of food for thought out there.
We talked about a few geek things. What with Windows 7, if people do go out and buy a brand new computer in the next couple days, they get Windows 7. I still haven't played with it a lot, but what are the things that you think the people who are just getting into Windows 7, what are the things that they need to know
you mean,
right away?
You mean new or...
Yeah, new things. I mean, because
The big thing that they're doing, and a lot of people are comparing it to the Mac.
Uh-huh.
They always say the Mac yep. people always say the Windows people copy Mac.
Whenever there's a new version of Mac, they always say they copy that from Windows.
But
right?
What's the one thing since Windows 95 that was a big deal with Windows 95 and through all these old versions that was a big to me a productivity booster? It was the taskbar.
Oh yeah.
But
right.
How many people do you know
who know how to use it?
Who know how to use it?
Right.
Not a lot. So when one of the big things they've done with Windows 7 is instead of the taskbar is that long gray or blue bar at the bottom of your screen that's next to the start button. So right. A lot of people know where the start button is. They can look at the clock on the right-hand side, but everything in between.
You call that the time.
Yeah, time.
The time.
Everything in between is a mystery.
Yeah.
So what they've one thing I think that they've done well with Windows 7 is they've kind of combined the quick launch bar that we used to have that you could click the little uh-huh. itty-bitty icons to yep. launch program. And the taskbar to make it kind of act like a dock in Mac.
Right.
So what it's done, they're bigger icons for Firefox, Internet Explorer, Microsoft Word, whatever right. program you're using, that you can add to the taskbar. It stays there permanently. And then when that program's open, it kind of glows.
Uh-huh.
So you know something's going on. And then if you hover on it, it gives you a thumbnail of what is open
right.
in that program.
Yeah.
And like for Internet Explorer, if you have multiple tabs, mm-hmm. it'll even show all the tabs.
Right.
So you can click the tabs from the taskbar. A little bit of a geeky thing, but I think they're trying to bring in more of the average computer user into getting them interested in using the taskbar.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a biggie.
With Windows 7, I think I've found a lot of things. When you get a new version of Windows and you discover those little things that go, oh, that's going to make things a little easier,
mm-hmm.
but it may not be documented stuff. It may not be stuff that it requires any training. You just notice these little things that say, oh, that's going to be kind of nice to have that available.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Windows 7 is full of those.
All
these little, tiny little things that may not seem like a major reason to upgrade, but like you said, that super bar that they mm-hmm. call it or whatever they call the new taskbar, it does some very cool things. It shows, without eating up resources, it shows you the little thumbnails of the things you have open.
And if you have the program closed, you can right-click on it, and it'll show you the recently used documents of that program.
Right.
Have you seen that yet?
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. The other thing I think that was a nice feature, a very nice feature in Windows Vista, and they've carried it over into 7 and even enhanced it,
uh-huh.
is when you click Start, the little Start orb
uh-huh.
on Windows Vista, there's a little button at the bottom that says Search.
Yeah.
And again, there's still a lot of people that aren't familiar with what to do with any search.
Well, they're going
to
figure it out in Windows 7, I think. I think they make it so intuitive
I
in
think
Windows
so too.
7.
You just type a few characters of a program name or maybe a control panel thing you need to get to. Mm-hmm. And I'm even starting to write my instructions getting ready for Windows 7 and for Windows Vista users for sure when they ask me. If I need them to go to a control panel section, instead of clicking Start, Control Panel, Networks, you know, all those things, I can tell them, type in the search box these three or four characters,
N-E-T.
And then and then from the results, click this.
Right.
And it makes it much easier and faster and, as you mentioned, a little more intuitive to get around your computer.
I think what they've done, they did something very nice. We really picked on Vista for not making stuff obvious,
mm-hmm.
but Windows 7 has almost done that well.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done, when you click on the Start button, instead of even feeling like you should go to Start and Programs, mm-hmm. they do make Programs in red and make it stand out. But that Start area is so big and so obvious that I think it's going to take people one time for somebody to show them.
Mm-hmm.
Just type in SOL for solitaire.
Right.
That's all it's going to take. Vista, I think, still looked too much like Windows XP.
It's still a transition.
And people felt, oh, wait, where's everything it's missing? Now it looks enough different that people aren't going to be looking for it. They're going to say, oh, this is something new. What do I do here?
Right.
And they're going to be able to figure it out. So I'm very impressed with Windows 7 so far.
Well, and I think they used Vista as a 2.5-year beta and took all of the feedback that was just thrown at them from the blog world, from Castellini, from users and from the big pundits that were testing it and stuff. And I think they've massaged it as best they could into Windows 7. As you mentioned, one of the most impressive things was installing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the easiest install for Windows.
For Windows to take 25 minutes to install. Now, again, the one thing we can't do is this is a first generation version I'm installing.
Right.
The problem with Windows installing, every time you install Windows, you have to install the updates once it's done.
Right.
And so as time goes by, it's going to take more than 25 minutes to install. But the nice thing about the way it does its updates is they're very subtle. It's not
much
like the
more
big
subtle
obnoxious
the
yellow bubble that comes up over at the side. Mm-hmm. There's a little thing that has a little flag on it. You just choose whether you want it to automatically install them before it shuts down, or, you know, you have your options there to make it a lot easier. So you can basically tell it, don't annoy me with updates. Just do them when I need to, and that's really cool.
Stays out of the way a little bit more. But you and I installed it on the same computer,
right?
A little Toshiba laptop with a webcam. Toshibas sometimes have a little bit different innards of hardware, so sometimes the drivers aren't always there.
All laptops are that way, I think.
I think
it's a general rule laptops are, but Toshiba more so than others.
But it installed, like you said, 20-25 mm-hmm. minutes, and there was no extra drivers to install.
No,
that has never happened with Windows.
I went to Toshiba's website, and I did download the Windows 7 drivers and installed them.
You did?
I'm still not sure why, because it did detect everything, but I thought, I'll just make sure everything's There were some drivers available there that were marked Windows 7 drivers,
okay.
But I didn't do it because my webcam wasn't working and because my audio wasn't
right.
I didn't do it for that reason. I did it because
you just wanted to have
there were some Windows 7 drivers, and I thought they might add a little bit more compatibility to it to have those drivers on.
Now, that's one new thing also they're adding to Windows 7, is which I think is a little bit unnecessary in a way, because hardware installation has become so much easier.
Yeah.
Even since Windows XP.
Right.
But they've made a new technique called hardware.
I forget what it's
called.
There's
a name for it they're doing. But basically, when you plug in the item, like let's say you plug in a digital camera or you plug in a scanner, instead of get the little bitty notification down by your clock that says new hardware found, you actually get a big icon in the middle of the screen that is either the exact replica of whatever you plugged in or just a facsimile of that.
Right.
And it tells you, here's what you plugged in. We're going to help you install it. And again, I think it's kind of a nifty little over-the-top type of a feature, but I think for some folks it'll make things easier.
You know what it is, though? I'm very, very tired, and you are too, I know this, when I install an HP printer of waiting 45 minutes or an hour and a half for the HP printer software to install. I really hope that this new hardware install ability from Windows 7
streamlines that
a little bit and just goes out and gets the driver that you want. You have an option of saying, do you want to install it from the disk or do you just want the Windows 7 driver from the web? You know, they've pretended to have these features all along. Remember, when you install a new piece of hardware into Windows,
all the way
from Windows 95,
right.
It comes up and it says, do you want to use a disk or do you want to search the web for the right driver?
The web never found
100% of the time you click search the web for the driver and it wouldn't be there.
Right.
Never.
Right.
I never, ever, ever on hundreds of thousands of computers I've worked on, never have had that work.
Hundreds of thousands.
At least. Maybe more. Millions, perhaps. But
that was a pretty bad feature.
It never worked. Now it actually does something.
Right.
And I think that it took them, you know, 9 versions or 100 versions or however many they've had of Windows to get it right. But it's better now.
Which is again, they're finally catching up with Linux and with Mac. Where you plug in a hardware device and most of the time you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah.
And finally they're getting to true plug them, like you mentioned, Windows 98, I think, maybe even 95.
95.
That's when they started really talking about plug and play.
Right.
Plug it in and you're ready to go.
Right. I think the terminology really came in Windows 98,
yeah.
But Windows 95 had those features
had the ability.
Where theoretically you would.
And it never worked.
Never.
You
never.
Had to always
horrible.
Plug in a disk.
Yeah.
But HP and their drivers, that's just getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Luckily, though, if, you know, I'll go into someone's home who's installed an HP, or if they haven't yet, I show them how to do the custom install.
Right.
So you can get rid of 90% of the...
Sometimes.
All right,
we've got a phone call. Hey, you're on Public Affairs Show, KFM, with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
First of all, I want to thank you guys for putting on this program.
Thank you.
Sure.
Appreciate all the info. But I have a question. I'm thinking of... I'm planning on changing the operating system on one of my laptops to Linux.
Okay.
And I was just wondering about printer hardware, software rather.
I don't think you'll have to worry about it. Is
what kind of printer do you have?
HP.
You won't have any problem.
Yep.
HP printers, you can plug them in. Especially, how old is your HP printer?
Pardon?
How old is your HP printer?
It's about 3 years old.
Perfect. Right. You plug it into your Ubuntu or whatever Linux you choose, and it should 95% of the time, and maybe even higher.
It works great, yeah.
It's just going to plug in a few minutes you'll be printing.
Now, here's an asterisk. Unless it's a plug.
Without you doing anything.
Yeah, the one asterisk, I mean, footnote to that is that you, if it's a multi-function machine, fax, scanner, copier, all of that, if it does more than print, then you might have to find the drivers
the
for those
ones.
Things. But on newer ones, but even on the older ones, you'll still, it should recognize the scanner feature, and it should recognize the printer feature right away. You might have to use the software that's built into Linux to make it happen. It's not going to be an HP driver necessarily, but it's always worth checking. I've found that HP has a lot of Ubuntu drivers on their site for their printers.
Oh, all right.
But if it's a three-year-old printer, I bet you can plug it in and go.
Yep.
All right. Hey, thank you for your information.
We appreciate the call. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
241-8801, extension 1. We have a few more minutes. If you have another question, feel free to call us up. 241-8801, extension 1. Last month we had a few Twitter questions, maybe because Twitter's down. I haven't had one yet today. Have you had them?
No.
I've been checking every few minutes.
Watching my twee.
And I'm looking here.
Of those speeches from Blog World, and the guy said, quit putting TW at the beginning of it.
Yeah,
everything.
That was that one speech that you showed me, yeah.
Couldn't agree more. I'm kind of sick of it. I like Twitter. I enjoy it. I understand how to use it, but I am tired of making everyone thinks the internet revolves around it. I think that's a whole different
thing. That's what they do with everything. In fact, there was I was listening to NPR on the way to work this morning, and they had a whole thing on Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
And they were interviewing some kids, and they're already saying that MySpace is becoming, quote-unquote, the low-income side of social networking.
Yeah.
And so there was this whole thing about the division on online is getting like divisions in real life.
Yeah.
And then they were talking about Facebook, and the kids, they were saying the kids are already getting tired of Facebook, and they think it's dying.
Yeah.
And then they asked the kid about Twitter. He said, oh, Twitter's for old people.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny. But all these tools have their uses.
Everything.
But they all get hyped up.
Everything comes and goes.
Yeah.
And anybody who thinks that this is the end all and be all, I think email will come and go. I think that.
You still say that. I
know. You think
I still
it's
think it's the
forever.
Most efficient.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like they said the mail was going to die. Mail hasn't died yet.
Yeah, I guess.
You can't deliver a physical piece of device digitally.
No, that's true. That's true. UPS hasn't died. Mail, I think, has its time is up. It's going away.
Stop sending postcards.
I really think that's going
postcards away. Are a way of the
Everybody's just going to go to Blue whatever and order their cards from the, I don't know.
All right. 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number if you want to squeeze in a last question.
Yeah.
The only other thing I was thinking about that came out this past month that I've tested, and again, it's as important with Windows 7 as it is with all versions of Windows, is security. You need to have your security up to snuff.
Oh, yeah.
There was just some new things floating around Twitter
this
last couple of days about how many hundreds of thousands of machines are currently infected with fake anti-spyware and antivirus software.
Yeah. I don't think that even the people who tell you those numbers have any idea of how bad the problem really is.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I listen to tech podcasts and tech shows all the time, and they act like, oh, boy, that would be pretty bad to see something like that happen, or that shouldn't happen. They don't realize that.
Well, they're not out in the dealing with it every day.
Yeah, if I run a scan on.
Out of those hundreds of thousands of computers that you've had.
Yeah.
I'll bet
60-70% of them. Some sort of spyware or garbage on them, yeah.
But the product that I tested this past month is Microsoft Security Essentials. And I have a video on it on my website at helpmerick.com about how to install it. It's not something you have to go out and get. This, like Adam and I were talking about, when we mention something, it doesn't mean run out and get it. It's just another alternative to whatever you're currently using as an antivirus. It's a free product from Microsoft. They scrapped their... They're really bad antivirus.
OneCare.
Yeah, OneCare. They scrapped it last year because it was so bad, and they charged for it. This is a free thing that they've retooled, come out with very fast. I mean, I was very impressed with how quickly it installed, and it stays out of the way.
I'm
unlike
assuming
Microsoft
that it
OneCare.
Works. I put it on Windows 7, and I'm assuming that it
did
works.
Did you put that as your,
it is.
As your
That's
choice?
That's my only antivirus Good. I'm using on Windows 7. So Good. We'll see. I'm gonna try to infect it a little bit and see what happens.
I put it on my wife's computer, and she's had it a few weeks. And
yeah, it runs fast. It doesn't seem to slow down the computer much at all.
So but it's pretty impressive. It's a free product, Microsoft Security Essentials. And if you're in the process of either thinking about, should I go out and buy a new copy of Norton, buy a new copy of McAfee, as we mentioned, there's really not a need to buy hardly anything anymore from a computer standpoint, software-wise, if you are a basic user. And Microsoft Security Essentials is going to, I think, be a game changer for a lot of the free antivirus products out there that we do like. AVG, Avast, some of those that are out there, I think are going to take a pretty big hit with this Microsoft Security Essentials. But you can check that out at the website at helpmerick.com. And just, I guess, to wrap up, Adam, Windows 7 party Tuesday night.
Yep.
6 o'clock. Come on, Mr. Host.
Well, I think it's 6 days.
Although you thought it was tonight or tomorrow night.
Yeah,
or something
well, you
crazy.
Know what? I talked about those two dates, and then I looked at a calendar, and I think I had November up.
Were you looking at the Mayan calendar in 2012?
I was. That was the problem.
You can go to talkingdigital.org and click on the Windows 7 party and just show up.
Yeah, just show up with the thing. You can sign up there. I'd love to have you sign up so I have an idea how many people are coming. But if you just show up, the address is at 2743.
Because we're going to cut the little 9 napkins into enough pieces to get out to everyone.
2743 Crossroads Boulevard. We'd love it if you'd bring
chips
or something.
Gatorade,
like that. Something for people to,
non-alcoholic drink.
This is a free party. They gave me 7
coffee.
Napkins. I'm not going to spend a lot of time and money.
Bring me
this,
an Americano.
But we will be talking about Windows. We'll have some projectors set up, and we will answer your questions, and we'll get into other stuff too. We'll talk digital photography. We'll talk cell phones.
It's a party.
Yeah.
It's a party.
Bring your ebook. I'd love to see some ebooks out there. There's so many ebooks hitting the market now. Barnes & Noble just announced theirs today, and
I think it's about a year too early to buy a yearbook. I think that's we're going to see an ebook.
Yeah.
We're going to see a lot of them, I think, this year.
I think so, and they're
prices will come
cheaper.
Down.
I am kind of intrigued by the one that runs on Android. I think that's kind of cool.
It's not out yet, though, is it?
Well, the Barnes & Noble one, I think, runs on Android.
Oh, does
but
it?
Then, I haven't read yet, but it's. Okay. But then there's another one that was announced today that actually is a clamshell.
I heard about that. The two screens.
And I think that the Barnes & Noble is a single-screen version
right.
of that, but I'm looking to see. I think they're the same device, but... Barnes & Noble is just a little bit more basic.
Well, do you have some music for us to go out on?
I do.
We'll be back again next month with another hour of talking digital technology, computers, whatever you want to talk about here on KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for some upcoming great music.